This is Sarah Reif with Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. Today we'll hear from quilting artist Laura Fogg, who lived in a multi-generational home in Redwood Valley, and Mary Buckley, a writer and musician who came to Ukiah as a single mother in 1981. We'll start with Laura Fogg.
So I met this man who was raised here, and he wanted to go back home, and I had been up here to visit his family. It was a large family. He had four siblings and grandparents all living on the property in Redwood Valley. And I just thought, oh, maybe this will be where I belong. And I just dove into it. So after I finished my master's, we just waited for that. And then the next day, we loaded up the old 53 pickup and rattled up Highway 101 and dumped it all off in Redwood Valley.
I'm Mary Buckley. I've lived in Mendocino County since 1981 and raised my kids out in the hills outside Ukiah. Though I was still in college, my last year of college actually in Oxford, and a friend from college was teaching a Mariposa school, Jonathan Conant. We called him Jay in college. And he wrote to us in England and said, oh, you should check it out. Ukiah has a co-op now and everything. And we were pretty young and said, okay, let's go.
5, 10 years and 3 kids later, we finally moved out of that house. It was a disaster for the marriage, but Redwood Valley became home. It's the best home I've ever had. It reminded me of my childhood in the East Bay Area before it got really populated. You know, cicadas clicking in the summer and those hot, lazy days and, you know, going to the swimming holes. it reminded me of all of the good kind of safe feeling stuff of growing up.
But the community was mostly based on what we shared was wanting a good place for our kids. So it was very compatible that way. I don't know if you'd call it intentional community in any other sense, but just that we wanted a nice place to raise kids, and we wanted to share what resources we had, free box and diapers and child care and work parties and potluck dinners and rides to town and, you know, jump start the car if you need it and that kind of thing. I could never have raised my kids by myself as a single mom out in the hills, you know, in the woods, just us. That it just wouldn't have worked.
We built it ourselves, and the kids helped. They got to help hammer nails into the subflooring and, you know, get up on the roof and hammer on the roof sheath and, you know, things that wouldn't show. When we were building the house, we had a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old and then an infant. So, you know, the two little kids, you know, got lots of smashed thumbs doing that job. And my father-in-law got involved in the building, so we did 100% of it ourselves, and it was a nice family project. Though
I was having some carpentry done around the house, whether I was doing it myself or having somebody working on it, which happened a lot, so there were probably just hammers and nails lying around and some boards, and she discovered the joy of hammering nails into boards, and she would do these a whole board full of nails, and then she would zigzag string between the nails and make little musical instruments or little games or little art pieces or something like that.
When she was about 7 months old, I would put her in the kitchen sink. It was summertime, and I'd fill the sink with cold water and apples and the baby, and her first job was, you know, washing the apples. She'd bounce them around. And then the next year, she would sit at the table with us, and the second kid was in the sink bouncing apples, and she would sit at the table, and she would hand apples to me and hand apples to my mother-in-law to core and peel, and she would hand my mother-in-law all the really nice ones, and she'd give me all the really ugly, wormy ones.
They would play in the creek, and they had rocks that were different colors, and they would scrape them and make a mud, like a paste clay, and paint their bodies. They had gray and brown and pink and yellow and kind of bluish, and they'd find all these different colors of rocks and clay and do these amazing body paintings. And often, of course, they would just do it with paint. We had some very creative body painting going on. There was one day when 3 of the girls painted themselves all over in matching patterns, so that each of them had like a little landscape on her chest and little circles on her bottom, and, you know, and a necklace painted on. It was wonderful.
finally, when the kids left home, and I had sold the farmhouse, so I didn't have to maintain acreage. In Ukiah, they measure your property in feet instead of acres. And I just went, hallelujah. You know, what do I get to do with my time now? And then realized, oh, finally, I can go do the art that I've wanted to do. So that's really evolved. And interestingly, almost all the art I do is about the land and about what we can grow on our land. Those are the big themes. It's this, you know, this incredibly beautiful county. Yeah, the plants and the food and the land, those are the big themes.
Who knew those kids were going to turn into teenagers? So we moved to town.
You've been listening to Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. We just heard from Laura Fogg and Mary Buckley. We shared a little bit of Mary Buckley's song with you at the end, but you can hear the full piece in our longer interview. Those air at 3:30 on Thursday afternoons, and they're on our website and Facebook page with pictures and complete versions of each interview. Promise of Paradise is supported by the National Endowment for the Humanities, California Humanities, the Arts Council of Mendocino County, the Judy Pruden Historical Preservation Fund of the Community Foundation of Mendocino County, the Mendocino Institute, and Grace Hudson Museum.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.